Turn with me your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20 and 21. Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. And we'll read these verses. It'll be more of a springing board for the message tonight, but amen. All right. It's good to see you all this evening. I really appreciate that. Spring kind of snuck up on us, and then it came back into hiding for some reason. It's nice and sunny. I'll take that. But a little bit of a chilly weather in the morning. So good to have you all here with us this evening. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20. And we'll start reading there. I'll read. You read along silently to yourself there. The Bible says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done." We're going to be talking this morning about the importance of the altar, the importance of the altar. Many have come from maybe some backgrounds. I know with the Catholic background, usually if you go to the Catholic Church, at the front there is a mourner's bench or some place where you kneel at and you pray at that point. But the altar is not something that's new to Baptist churches. It's not something that we've created, but it is something that goes back to Bible times. So we're going to look at a couple of things of the importance of the altar in our lives. We're going to look at the biblical altar, the church altar, and then also your personal altar. We'll look at those three things tonight. But I ask that you pay attention. The definition for the altar, I want everybody to know, is that an altar is a place of decision and an altar is a place of sacrifice. If you'd say that with me, it's a place of decision and a place of sacrifice. You ready? Say that with me. The altar is a place of decision and the altar is a place of sacrifice. We have to remember that when we're talking about the altar. The altar is not used for... we're okay. Okay, we're good. But the altar is not used for just decorations. And I'm all for Christmas decorations. And usually around Christmas, you see the poinsettias around and you see Christmas garland and things. I'm not opposed to that. But that is not what the altar is for. The altar is not for speakers or lilies or anything that you want to put on the altar. The altar is used for us today as a place of decision and a place of sacrifice. This altar is not here by accident. It's not just because we needed the platform to be up a little bit. And yes, that is part of the reason. But the reason we have it set up this way is that there is an altar at the front of the church. And we'll look at some of those things here and just the biblical definition of an altar and what the importance is for the church and then also for our own lives. So let's look at a couple of things here. You're in your Bible there at Genesis chapter 8. I hope you don't mind. We're going to be looking in our Bibles this evening, okay? It's a Bible study here, but we're in Genesis 8, 20 through 21. This is the first mention of the word altar. We understand that when Cain and Abel, they sacrificed, but it doesn't use the technical term altar. It doesn't use that word altar. But this is the first mention of an altar. And what Noah built this altar for was for a place of sacrifice and thanksgiving. Noah was making he was thanking God that him and his family were saved from the flood that had just happened. But we see here that the first mention of the altar was with Noah. Look at, if you will, turn your Bibles just a couple chapters over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at some other examples of the altar. We're going to look at the importance of a biblical altar. First, it was used as a place of thanksgiving. Then look at Genesis 12 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Why did Abram build an altar? An altar was built by Abram because God had given him a promise. God had said, this place that you're at, this is what I'm going to give as an inheritance to your children. And this is a promise that God had made to Abraham. So Abraham builded an altar. Same thing here. Let's look at Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 24. Genesis 26, verse number 24, the Bible says this, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well." We notice here that Abraham was promised by God, "I'm going to give you this land." And so what did Abraham do? He built an altar. We see that his son comes around. Isaac is now being promised by God, the very same promise. Your children are going to inhabit this land. And what does Isaac do? Isaac builds an altar. It was a place where God had promised to him something. And he had made a decision before Isaac and before Abraham, "This is what I'm going to give you." It was a place of decision. And so Abraham and Isaac both builded an altar to confirm God's blessings. Look at Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Let's look at another passage in regards to the altar. Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 3. Genesis chapter 35, verse number 3. "And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." This is now Jacob. Jacob is Isaac's son. So this is Abraham's grandson. And Jacob had built a well for forgiveness. He was going through some sin in his life. He'd slid back. He had already betrayed at this point. But then we see in verse number 3, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God." Why? Because God had given him forgiveness. So what are some other things that the Bible talks about as the importance of an altar biblically? Look at Exodus chapter 24. You don't have to turn there for time. But Exodus chapter 24, Moses was faced with a decision. He was being led out of Egypt, and he has these millions of children of Israel following him. And he did not know which way to go. He didn't know what the next step was in his life. And so what did Moses do? He didn't just sit on his hands. The Bible says he built an altar. And God spoke to him from the altar and told him what his next step was in his life. He didn't know what the next direction was for this group of people that he'd led. He didn't know the next step, the next process in his life. But Moses, he didn't just stay there. He built an altar. And because of that altar, God was able to work and showed him the direction that he needed to go. Then we see in 2 Samuel 24, 25, I'll read this to you. "But David used an altar to save people from death." David used an altar to save people from death. The Bible says, "And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel." In this story, David had numbered the people, and the prophet came to David and said, "Do you want to have 3 days of the Lord's hand of anger upon you, or do you want to have 3 months of being taken over by an enemy, or 3 years of famine?" And he said, "I want to fall into the hands of the Lord." And so for 3 days, there was great destruction. I think 70,000 people were killed. And God told David, "I want you to go build an altar." And so David went and built this altar. And because of that, the Lord smelt the sweet savor of the altar, and the plague was stayed. And more people did not die. People's lives were saved because of this altar. Then we see, and you don't have to turn there again, but Leviticus 1:9, the altar offered sweet smelling savor to the Lord. "But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." If you know the children of Israel, as soon as they got into Egypt, Moses was given commands from the Lord on how to build the tabernacle, how he would build the place where God would abide in. And that would be consist of the outer court, that would consist of the holy place and the most holies. And so Moses was told how to build the tabernacle. And in that, the very first thing that people would come across was the altar. The altar was the very first step in the tabernacle process. Why? Because there had to be a sweet-smelling savor unto God for the people to get what they needed to get. The priest, once a year, the high priest would offer sacrifice for himself, and then he would offer sacrifice for the people. And then he would take that sacrifice into the Holy of Holies once a year and sprinkle that upon the mercy seat. Now, this altar was used as a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. The Lord is pleased with the altars. The altars were not just something that man created, but an altar was used by God. Altar was used for forgiveness. The Bible says, and he shall burn all his fat upon the altar. Amen. Not talking about the person's fat, but the animal's fat. As the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. There was forgiveness at the altar. This was a place of forgiveness. It was also a place of memorial. Joshua tells about the children of Reuben. They made an altar, and the altar was for memorial between the children of Israel. Reuben was on the other side of Jordan, and it was a memorial so that they knew that God had got them to this place, to the land of Israel. And so it was a memorial that was made. And then there was the power of God. This is one of my favorite stories, but this is Elijah. Elijah, we know the story. He went out to Mount Carmel, and he called down fire from heaven. The Bible says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art a God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. There was great power that was shown at the altar. What am I trying to hit at tonight is that the biblical importance of an altar is shown all throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. But the altar was a very important place. It wasn't a place to be taken lightly. It wasn't a place where the latest gossip was told or the newest jokes were told or anything like that. It was a place that people would go to for decision and for sacrifice. It was a place of decision and a place of sacrifice. There was the importance of a biblical altar. Then let's look at, if you will, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. This is that 1 Kings chapter 8. In verse number 30, 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to read verse number 30 through 32, but we've looked at the biblical purpose of an altar. Let's look at the importance of a church altar, the importance of a church altar. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 30. Sorry, it's 1 Kings 18. Sorry about that. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 30. All right, we'll get it. You're paying attention, so that's all that matters. That's good. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 30. 1 Kings 18, verse number 30. Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, in whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Now we understand that there was an altar that was biblically important. It was of biblical importance. The altar was set before the tabernacle. That was where, as preachers mentioned in Hebrews, they would, if they had a trespass offering, or if they had done some kind of sin, or they had hurt one of their neighbors or whatnot, they would go to this altar to sacrifice. But this altar, we see it has a biblical importance, but also it has importance here in the church. Again, we talked about the church. The church, this front part of the platform is the altar of the church. So let's look at some things here. Remember, it's a place of decision and a place of sacrifice. Why do we have a church altar? A church altar is a place to make an immediate decision. We hear so many messages here in church. We hear so many songs that may touch our hearts. We hear messages and statements, maybe that not even in the message, but we hear some statements that we can make a decision. And where do we make that decision? We have an altar for a place of an immediate decision. It's a place where a preacher at the end of the service has an invitation or an altar call, and that is to bring people to the altar to make a decision. This is what I've heard. This is what the message was about, and I'm going to make a decision based on the message. But then what is the altar for as well? It's to unify with other believers in prayer. I've seen so many sweet times of prayer around a church altar where Christians would come together and they would pray for an election, or they would pray for somebody that was in need. Very many times I've been a part of a service where they would anoint someone with oil and they would pray for that person. Why? Because it's important for Christians to unify. And what better place than the altar here at the front of the church? What is the other purpose of the altar? It's a central place for people to come for salvation. Imagine if you will, preacher preaches a message about salvation and says, if you want to get saved, go ahead and start looking around and we'll raise our hands up and somebody will help you out. No, it's not going to happen that way. But you say, why don't you come down to the front and we'll take care of you here. What is that? That's a centralized place. It's a place where a sinner can come. You don't have to know all about church history. You can come down to a church altar and receive salvation. It's a place where we get our hearts right with God. I remember when I was a teenager, my first youth conference. It was a big conference and we had a preacher come through, several preachers come through, and they were just preaching hot and heavy. And man, I was eating it up. And then one night the preacher was just, he was all over me, man. He was hitting everything that I was doing, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And I came down to that church altar weeping. And I was crying so much. My dad came up and he brought me outside the service. I was just crying. And he brought me out. He's like, son, what's going on? There was nothing legible coming out of my mouth. But it was a place of decision. As a young teenager, I remember making decisions at an altar. I remember as a child coming and making decisions at an altar. Chapel message, they would preach and I would come and make a decision in my heart. Why? Because it's a centralized place for decisions. It's a place where we can get our hearts right with God. God tells us in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there that gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. What does that tell us for us today? Is when I'm praying, I go down to the altar, I have a church service, I come down, and the Lord speaks to me and says, hey, there's something not right between you and so-and-so. Or there's a sin in your life that you haven't dealt with. We need to get that right. It's a place where I can make a decision for change or a decision in my life. Many a life has been changed by a church altar. Many revivals have started from a church altar. Prodigals have been prayed home at a church altar. I don't know if you've ever been to a tent meeting, but man, an old-fashioned revival tent meeting where people are coming down to the front. I've seen it where a preacher says, if you have a prodigal, or you know of somebody that has gone away from the Lord, somebody that has left Christianity, left the church, God, don't you come down to the front, let's pray for them. And man, just standing up there for 30, 40, 50, an hour, standing up there praying for a prodigal to come home. I've seen where people receive salvation at an altar. Man, the church altar is so important for us as a church. I've seen Christians rededicate their lives at a church altar. I've seen my grandfather was a saved man, but he was a drunk. He's got different litters, is how we say it. But he was married five or six different times, and so litters of children out all over the place. When his funeral came, I was like, I have never met these people in my whole entire life, and they never met me, so it worked out. But I remember stories of my grandfather was living out in the world doing sin and just a severe alcoholic. And I remember he came down to the front of the church and he had a pack of cigarettes in his I don't remember, I wasn't alive, but he tells a story of him coming down to the front at an altar after the preacher got done preaching, and he rededicated his life to the Lord. He took those cigarettes, he laid them right on the altar, never smoked another day in his life. He went down and he got rid of all the alcohol that was in his house, and he rededicated his life at the altar. The church altar is a very important place for us as Christians. I've seen families strengthened at the altar. Many a memory I have of going down to the altar with my mom and dad and praying. Were we always deep in spiritual prayer? No, but my parents were teaching me a lesson. I need you to come down to the altar because there are decisions that you need to make. I am not a perfect Christian. I have many things in my life that I need to work on. So for me to say I don't need the altar is a very foolish thing for me to say. Why? Because the altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place where I say, God, I'm giving up this sin in my life. God, I'm giving up this relationship. God, I want to make a decision based on the message that I just heard, or maybe something that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. I want to make a decision tonight. That's what the church altar is for. Don't take away the church altar. Don't take away the church altar. I was dedicated as a baby at a church altar. I was saved at a church altar. I got right with the Lord several times at a church altar. I was married at a church altar. I dedicated my children to at a church altar. I was ordained as a preacher at a church altar. Don't take away the altar from the church. Man, that's what liberals are trying to do. That's what the world is trying to do. Look at, if you will, you're in 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to show you exactly what the world is trying to do to the altars of our church today. Look down, if you will, at verse number 20. At 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 20. The Bible says this, "So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And ye call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken." Notice what they do at the altar. Look at verse number 25. "And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. And they took the bullock that was given to them and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner of knives with lancets until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded." Now notice what the church, we guard this church altar. Why? Because it's a place of decision, it's a place of sacrifice for the believer. But notice what the world does. The world takes this same altar. You go to one of these mainline, streamlined churches that just teach about love, love, love. It's all about love. Hey, I'm so thankful that God is love, but God is also truth. God is also the law. God has some things that He requires of us. I'm thankful for those things. But here's the thing. What does the churches do nowadays? The churches start dancing on the church altars. You notice what they did. Their God was not answering. Baal was not answering. So what did they do? They started jumping up on the altar and they started dancing on the altar. Man, what do you see now in churches? Even in some Baptist churches, it breaks my heart. But you see these praise and worship bands. They'll usually have one guy in the middle with a guitar, and then they've got two or three ladies on the side. And, it starts out with them just singing, but then the Spirit starts slaying, I guess. I have no idea. And then they start moving around a little bit, and they get those feet bopping a little bit. And what are they doing? They're making a mockery of the altar. Do you notice there that they danced upon the altar? They jumped up on that altar, leaping and trying to call upon their God, but God did not answer. Notice what else they did. They lifted themselves up. You know, it's about the individual. They were not there to brag on God. They were bragging about themselves. They were, look at me, I'm going to be more dedicated. I'm going to cut myself where more blood comes out. They were lifting themselves up. Man, I'm going to jump the highest. I'm going to be the one that calls the biggest. And you know what happens? It turns into a show. There's the power of God where a Christian can get his life changed, where a family can be strengthened, and all that they've changed it into is a show. That's all it is. Notice, and it's kind of funny here, but they went on from the morning until the evening sacrifice. If you've been to these churches, you know, some people used to hear complaints about, man, well, we don't get out till noon, okay? I've seen some of these churches where they'll have two and a half, 3 hour praise and worship where they're just up there singing for 2.5 hours. The preacher gets up there for 15 minutes, gives a little Joyce Meyer devotion, and then they leave. They collect the money first. That's important. They get a lot of money from that, and then they leave. But what have they done? They've made it long. They've tried to call whatever praise and worship that they can, but you notice that there's no fire that comes down. You notice that there's no God speaking to them. Why? Because it's just a show. They have taken the altar for us, which means so much, and they've turned it into a show. You know what? They've lied and deceived on that altar. Those people knew that Baal was not going to send fire. There was no way in their minds that they knew, all right, he's about to send fire. Let me jump up on here and start cutting myself. They knew that they were lying, and they still went with it. They knew that they were trying to deceive the people around them, but they still went with it. These churches, they know that all around, it's sad for us as pastors to, you know, I go out and I talk to people. Well, pastors are just in it for the money. Man, that's not what it's for. That's not what Jesus had intended for it. But what happens? These mega churches have, their Rolls Royce that they drive around and these big mansions that they have. They're out in it for the money. They're deceiving the people and they know about it. They're lying to the people and they know about it. And guess what? There's no fire. There's no power from God. Yes, they have a long show. Yes, they may have people waving their hands, but there's no power from God. There's no fire from heaven. I'm thankful when preacher gets up to here to start preaching, there's a fire that comes about. You can see the Holy Spirit start working in people's hearts. Why? Because we're not disgracing the altar. We're using it for what it's there for, is to help, to encourage a place of decision and a place of sacrifice. Don't take away the altar. We as Christians need to realize the importance of this altar. We need this altar. We need this altar. We as husbands and wives, we need to understand the importance of the altar. Man, I'm not talking, you don't have to know all the special words when you come down here and pray. You don't have to know all the lingo. Oh, Heavenly Father, God in heaven of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. You don't have to know all those things. You are here to pray to God. God would rather see your heart than some memorized slangs or sayings that you have. God wants to hear your heart. And as I remember, my dad would get up and he'd be tired. My dad was working 80, 90 hours a week. And then he would come home to three boys and try to still play with us and keep things going at the house. And then I remember my dad, you know, there wasn't great spiritual words coming out of his mouth, but I could tell that it was from his heart. I could tell that from the message that we just heard, he was making a decision. And you know what? That speaks to me as a child. That speaks to me that my dad would come down, he would pray with me. Man, the same thing for our children. I'm not going to give a name because they're here, but one of my children, man, she's praying about help us to have a good night's sleep. And that's fine because I want them to make a habit of coming down to the altar because you know what? They're not always going to be at my house. One day they're going to leave my house and I want them to still be in church and I want them still to, when the altar call comes, I want them to go to that altar and try to make a decision. Amen. Why? Because it's so important for us as Christians. There's an importance that needs to be placed on the church altar. We go to the altar because the Lord has spoken to us. That's a great reason. You say, hey, God spoke to me in the message. I want to come to the altar and make a decision for God. Great. But you know what other time you go to the altar? When God didn't speak with you. When you've got some things that are, your mind is wandering during the message. Or maybe you didn't hear anything. It was just words coming out of the preacher's mouth. It was just words on a page. You go down to the altar and say, God, I didn't hear anything from you today. God, would you speak to me? What is in my life? What is that, just like we read in Matthew, what is that hindrance that I'm not able to get close to you, that I didn't hear from you today? So yes, you go to the altar to make a decision, but you also go to the altar and say, God, I need you. God, I didn't hear from you. Would you please speak to me, Lord? Would you please speak to me? We need to understand that there is an importance biblically about the altar. But we need to understand the importance of the church altar. And then also, and we'll be finished here, but the importance of a personal altar. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 tells us that we need to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We are to have an altar at our house. You know, not a physical altar with stones and things. Not like that. But a spiritual altar where I go to and I sacrifice myself on a daily basis. And I say, God, not my will, but thine be done. God, this is, what do you want me to do today? God, I want to sacrifice myself as a living sacrifice. So much better and how much easier it would be just to say, God, I want to be a martyr. Whoop, kill me and I'm good. I'm done. I'm in heaven for the rest of my life. But no, God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. That means I want you to still live your life as a sacrifice to God. What is the altar in my life? It's an altar of decision. It's an altar of sacrifice where I say, God, this is what I really want to do today, but God, I know that you have something else. Would you show me what you want for my life? That is the importance of a personal altar where we are to seek forgiveness. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where do I get that forgiveness? At the altar. Where do I get forgiveness from God? At the altar. Where do I prepare myself? At the altar. We talked about it already, but the tabernacle, as soon as you came into the courts of the tabernacle, there was the altar. Before the priest would even come into the holy place but and do their duties, get the showbread ready and make sure that there was oil in the candlestick and to make sure that the altar of incense still had incense on it, before any of that took place, there was an altar. An altar was there for sacrifice. It was as a place for them to get right with God before they went into the holy place. How much beneficial would it be for us as Christians if we went to the altar in the morning, or we went to the altar before church and said, God, would you do something for me tonight? God, would you show me something tonight? God, would there be something that I need to work on that you would show me in the message today? Why? If we prepare our hearts, how much more can God do something? We don't need to have a 2-hour, 3-hour praise and worship where we just sing the same song on repeat for 30 minutes. We don't need that. We just need an altar time where we say, God, I want to do something for you. God, would you please show me? God, there's somebody that's hurting in the church tonight. Would you help me to be a blessing? God, there's somebody that needs encouragement. Would you help me to be a blessing to them? We need to prepare ourselves before we get into the service. That's what this personal altar is. Now, we're almost finished. I appreciate your time. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 with me, please. Hebrews chapter 13. I want us to see, the importance of an altar, but then we're going to look at some things here that I think will be a help to us, and then we'll be finished. 2 points. We're done. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse number 10, it says, I'll wait till you get there. Okay. All right. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Good, good. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 10. We have an altar. What is that? Read this phrase with me. You ready? We have an altar. We have an altar. God has given us an altar, whereof we have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Look down at verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good, to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God cares about what you say. God cares about what you do. And for me, God has given us an altar to where we can sacrifice our lives to God as that living sacrifice. Where is your altar? Where is your altar tonight? Do you have a place where you get alone with God? I will admit, having 4 kids is not always the easiest thing to have a place where you can pray. Well, I'm thankful the kids don't wake up too early. Time change is a different story. But when it's not time change, man, that kitchen table for me is where I can sit, I can read my Bible, and I can pray. That's my altar place. Do you have a place for your altar? Do you have a place where you sacrifice your life? Do you have a place where you dedicate your life to what God has for you every day? Is there a place for you there? Do you have an altar? And then what is your altar in? What condition is your altar in? The Bible tells us 2 stories. We're not going to get into it tonight. But the Bible tells us about a king named Asa. And Asa, when he heard these words of the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. What is the condition of your altar today? Your personal altar in your life. What is the condition? Is it needing renewal? Has it been a while since you've been to your altar? Has it been a while since you prayed to God? Has it been a while since you walked with God? You know, you used to have a strong walk with God. You used to pray. You used to have, you were able to call upon the God and see answers to prayer, but now it's got cobwebs. Now you don't ever visit it. Do we need to renew our altar? And then the Bible talks about repairing the altar. We already read the verse, but Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. Some of us don't need just to be renewed. The renewing is like when a company's coming over to your house, all right? You're just cleaning up everything, throwing it in the closet, and the only time you clean is when company comes over. That's renewing. But repairing, that is to do actual physical work to maintain or to keep the shape that it should be in. I remember when I've got another story, but I remember when I was in college, of course, there's this black substance, it's supposed to be brown, but this brown substance that you're supposed to pour in the car engine to keep it from overheating. And then there's also some other liquid that you're supposed to pour into the radiator to keep your engine from blowing up. Now, both of those, if you're low on both of those, that's not a good thing. So I remember going to church. I was bringing a friend, and I was in a little Miata. So, yeah, it was not a big vehicle. But I was bringing a friend. We were going to church, and man, I started smelling something. You don't ever look into the gauges until it's too late. When there's fire coming from the hood, it's like, well, I probably should have checked that light. It's been probably glowing there. But anyway, but I remember that engine blew on me. Like it just totally shot. And we tried to put it together the best we can. But you know what? We got to a point. It was like, you know what? I need to just replace this engine. And I bought a new engine, of course, used, and I had to work on that one. But we got a new engine. I repaired the Miata. Okay. And it did work. I did sell it. So praise the Lord. But here's the thing. In our personal life, what is the condition of your altar? Does it just need to be, hey, it has been a long time since I've been to the altar. You know what? It has been grown over. You know what? I've got some sin, some transgression in my life that I've got to get right with God before I can have my altar time. There are some things that have weighed on my mind that I haven't gotten clear with God, and I've got to rebuild. I've got to repair the altar of the Lord. What is our altar like tonight? Life is too short to live with a broken down, half-used altar. We need to get forgiveness. Don't wait to get forgiveness. Don't wait to get your altar right with God. Don't wait to use your altar. Don't wait until the time is so bad that you're in over your head. That altar is there for you to use every day. Every day. Say, God, I don't know what battle I'm going to face. Whether you're in a battle, you're out of a battle, or you just finished a battle, you're going to have battles in your life. God, I don't know what I'm going to face. Would you please prepare me for what I need? That's what that altar time is for. Altar is a place of decision and a place of sacrifice. Don't wait to go to your altar. Ask yourself tonight, have I strayed from my altar? Has that altar in my house, has that altar here at the church, have I strayed from those altars in my life? Not as a place of where we're worshiping the altar itself, but it's a place where we get alone with God. It's a place where we commune with God. We need to stop living in pride and get back to our altar. Stop making excuses and get back to the altar. Stop blaming others for the condition of our altar and get back to the altar of the Lord. What condition is my altar in right now? Do I need renewal? Do I need repair? What do I need to do to get my altar back in working condition so that I can pray to God? I can keep that close communion with God. We have an altar. Hebrews 13:10. We have an altar. Let's go ahead and we'll pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the altar that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for this church altar. So many decisions in my life, Lord, started right here in a church altar. Lord, so many, Lord, sacrifices, things that you've shown me in my life that I need to change, that I need to get right, have been brought to my attention in church and made the decision here at a church altar. But Lord, much more than that has been the personal altar that you've given us. Lord, we have an altar where we can come to you. Lord, we can go before the throne of grace to find mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, you've given us that means of communication with you. But Lord, when's the last time we've been to that altar? Lord, is that altar of ours at home, is it dusty? Is it broken down? Is it filled with sin and wrong? Lord, what is our altar like? Would you please help us, Lord, guide us on rebuilding, renewing that altar that you've given us. Thank you for the altar.